This is Campus Journal, program number 1016 for Monday, March 21st, 1994. Four, three, two, one. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and it seems that some people get a real kick out of being bossy. Whenever they're in a position of authority, they act like they're superior beings or something. You know the kind. Now, let's just say you're feeling rotten. And so you go to the doctor's office, and after you tell the person behind the window your name, she orders you to be seated in a tone that makes you feel like you're about 5 years old again. And then when you timidly ask, how long it might be before you get to see the doctor, her "just be patient" makes you feel as if you were personally responsible for the disease in the whole city, if not the whole world. And then when your turn does come, she orders you into examining room C without a word of instruction. But you really don't want to ask her anything because you're pretty sure she doesn't want to lower herself to answer your stupid questions anyway, so you don't ask. Now, you felt bad coming in, but now you're feeling even worse. And so understanding how that feels, you know why being unkind, especially to someone in a lower position, is never right. Now, God made that very clear to the nation of Israel in the Bible's Old Testament. He told them to treat those of lower rank as they would want to be treated, and that they once had been in an alien land, and that they of all people should know how it feels to have to deal with those who show no sympathy. And so as followers of Christ, I think we have a similar responsibility. When we're in the power position, we need to be understanding and sympathetic and compassionate. See, God's told us to love our neighbors, and you can't really do that while you're treating them like a third-class citizen. That's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet for yourself or a student-age person you know, call 1-800-653-7221. 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1017 for Tuesday, March 22nd, 1994. Four, three, two, one. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and the writer of today's entry in our printed CJ booklet says that this particular week was a pretty tough one for him. Now, he teaches at a university in Southern California, and that week a student's grandmother and aunt were killed in a tragic car wreck. A good friend's wife was tested for breast cancer, and a couple he knows, their daughter-in-law, filed for divorce. Now, some might think that, he was just fortunate not to have experienced those trials himself. But in a spiritual sense, he says he did carry those burdens. Watching the student's eyes well up with tears as he described the shock, realizing how disoriented his very organized friend had become at the fear of losing his wife, visiting that couple's hurt-filled home, now, each of those experiences weighed pretty heavily on him as well. And it's true, if we're carrying people, then we do carry each other's burdens. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, Paul told us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. So we can't callously stand by and just think, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. If something tragic happens to a fellow Christian, in a sense, it does happen to us. And so when our friends are going through tough times, they need us to share the load. A burden feels so much heavier when it's carried alone, and so much lighter when others help. And besides, sharing the burdens of others, that also gives us the opportunity to share their joy. So remember this, that a burden shared is halved, but a joy shared is doubled. That's the point we'd like to make in today's entry in the Campus Journal. I hope you'll think about our topic of sharing the load today. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly Campus Journal devotional booklet, just call toll-free 1-800-653-7221, and we'll send you one. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening today. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1018 for Wednesday, March 23rd, 1994. Four, three, two, 1. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And, you know, it's my guess that if Jonah were around today, and if he were a sophomore at Ohio State University, that the Lord would probably command him to go to rescue the students at the University of Michigan. You see, U of M and OSU, in case you're not up on Midwest universities, are arch rivals in sports, especially in football. However, in the real situation that Jonah faced, the people that he was supposed to help were the dreaded and barbaric Ninevites. And the Ninevites weren't the kind of people Jonah or any other God-fearing person would want for friends. Well, when Jonah finally did arrive in Nineveh, after taking just a short Mediterranean cruise inside a big fish, he was sad instead of glad when the people actually responded to what he had to say and they escaped God's judgment because of it. And he pouted because he did something he really didn't want to do and he got results he didn't really want to get. But you know, Jonah really isn't all that different from you and me. I'm sure we too have people that we aren't all that interested in telling about Jesus. We're often more concerned about our own kind than we are in taking a risk and proclaiming the gospel to someone who isn't like us. And we can get so wrapped up in our hatred of sin that there are times we forget to love the sinner. And so let me ask you something. Do you see the world as God does? Are you concerned enough to offer the hope of heaven to someone who's on his or her way to hell? Are you willing to spread the word to those who act as if they really don't want to hear it? Bottom line, are you willing to say, Lord, help me tell them? Well, I hope you'll think about today's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like to receive a copy of our monthly Campus Journal devotional guide, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221, and we'll send you a printed copy of our Campus Journal booklet free of charge. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening today. I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class, Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1019 for Thursday, March 24, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and think about pigs for a minute. You gotta like them. They don't have a care in the world, and each new day brings nothing but slopping around in the mud and snorting happily at mealtime. And what nice meals they have. Crunchy carob pods or whatever other useless leftovers the farmer might fling into the pig pen. That sound good? Well, not real good, huh? Probably didn't sound real good either to the young man we call the prodigal son. He used to have a warm bed, a rich inheritance, a loving father, a secure future, and lots of good things to eat. But that wasn't enough. No, he wanted to get out of the house, run his own life, do whatever his heart desired without mom or dad telling him what to do. But what he got was worse than a pig's dinner. You know, that pretty much describes what every young person gets who decides to ignore the guidance of God's word. The guidance of godly parents, Christian teachers, dedicated pastors. Whether the issue is sex or substance abuse, quitting church, or some other action that leaves God out and ignores wise counsel, the results are always the same. Because any time we shut down our relationship with God, we can expect the opposite of what we thought would happen to happen. Remember what it took for the prodigal son to return to the right way of living? And so fill yourself with the bread of life. Live for Jesus, and you won't have to settle for pig food. And that's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. Now, if you'd like to get our monthly Campus Journal devotional guide, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening today. And remember that in many cases, what seems most appealing may be the least satisfying. I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1020 for Friday, March 25th, 1994. 4, 3, 2. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and just suppose that old rattletrap car you've been driving was dying, and someone gave you a new one, what would you do? Well, you'd drive it, right? Well, a woman in Costa Mesa, California, was in that situation. One morning, she woke up and she found a package on her doorstep that contained car keys and a note. Now, the note quoted some scripture verses and ended up with the words, "This gift is for you because I love you." And it was signed, "An Angel of the Lord." Now, in her driveway was a car in excellent condition, one that was going to replace hers, which was 18 years older. And so how did it get there? Well, a neighbor girl asked, did God drop that car down from heaven? Well, probably not. But the woman did put a big poster on her garage door that said, "Thank you, God." And notice she didn't say, "Thank you, my anonymous friend." Now, she was grateful to that person, of course, but she also knew that all things come ultimately from God. Now, back in the Bible's Old Testament, David recognized that same truth. An enormous offering had just been received for the construction of the temple, and he and his people were celebrating. Now, they could have congratulated each other. They could have slapped one another on the back, published the name of each donor, but they didn't do that. David led them in thanking God. And so let me suggest something for you. When someone gives you something, of course you need to thank them. But also don't forget to thank the one who is the source of all good things. Make sure that you say, "Thank you, God." That's the Friday entry in the Campus Journal. Remember, if you'd like a free copy of our monthly Campus Journal devotional booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger. Have a good weekend. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1021 for Monday, March 28, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and not long ago I heard a knock on the front door, and when I answered it, I saw my brother-in-law standing on the porch. I hadn't seen him for about a month, but as soon as I saw him, I knew that there was something different about him. You see, in the lobe of his left ear was an earring. As it turned out, it was a fake one, and he wore it just to see what kind of reaction he would get from my wife and me. But you know, back in Moses' time, in the Bible's Old Testament, a pierced ear was not used to make a fashion statement or to get a reaction from someone. Instead, it showed a slave's devoted love for a kind master. Now, back in Exodus 21, it tells us that, according to God's law, all slave owners were to free their slaves every seventh year. But if a slave loved his master, he could have his ear pierced to demonstrate that he was making a lifetime commitment to that master. Now, in the Bible's New Testament, the Apostle Paul urged us to make the same kind of commitment to God. In fact, Paul often referred to himself as Christ's servant, signifying the same slavery by choice. You see, in one sense, God offers us our freedom every day. During the day today, we're free to either serve Him or to serve our own selfish desires. Now, no, you don't have to go out and pierce your ear to show your loyalty to Christ. Piercing or not piercing your ears really has nothing to do with it. Instead, let your life show everyone around you that you are God's servant, because He's redeemed you through Jesus Christ, and because, well, just because you just want to serve Him. That's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today, and if you or a student-age person you know would like a free copy of our monthly Campus Journal devotional booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger, and I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1022 for Tuesday, March 29, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and a little advice for you today, okay? If you ever plan to build a house, don't hire the little pig who built his house of straw as the contractor. Actually, that advice comes from Matt Meerman, a man who operates a company in Tucson, Arizona, called Out on a Bail Limited. You see, he says he knows how to build straw houses that will not get blown down by the big bad wolf. And that's why don't call the little pig. Call him. You see, he claims that straw bales stacked and held by wooden or steel pins, plastered on the inside and stuccoed on the outside, are really bug-resistant, fire-resistant, quite sturdy. But you know what we learn from nursery rhymes or contractors about building materials is quite different from what the Bible teaches about building a life. Now, in the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he explained God's building code, and he specifically used the example of straw to illustrate the kinds of weak teaching and half-hearted service that really don't please the Lord. And in a future day, when what we've done is evaluated, those deeds are going to be burned up like straw. Now, in contrast, Paul spoke of building with gold and silver and precious stones. Now, those represent the pure doctrine and right living that honor Christ and that won't burn up. And so let me ask you something. What are you using to build your life? Are you working at knowing the Bible well enough so that what you tell others accurately represents what God has said? Are you just putting up a good front for others to see? Or are you building a life that's going to stand the close examination of God? Let's be careful how we build. Now, I hope you'll think about that. That's the Tuesday entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading, and I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1023 for Wednesday, March 30, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and Kathleen Mattson has taken on a big challenge. Now, she's moved with her missionary family to Tokyo for 3 years because less than 1% of Japan is Christian. With Romans chapter 13 in mind, Kathleen wrote this. She said, "My life needs to be a shining example to those who've never heard the gospel of Christ. The time is precious because, as Romans 13:11 says, salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." And she went on to write that the task seems overwhelming when I think of the lack of openness of a nation that perceives Christianity as a blood-stained religion. Now, it's not because of Christ's blood, but because of bloodshed in the Crusades and in the Protestant-Catholic tension in historic England and contemporary Ireland. So she says, how can I possibly do it? I certainly can't do it alone. And she's right about that. But then she said that it's only through the Lord's help and by putting on the armor of Christ-like character that she can meet the need. She's right about that, too. And let me tell you, if you attend a public high school or university, if you have a job, or if you live in just a typical neighborhood, you recognize that there are a lot of people in your country that don't know Christ. And you may be asking the same question Kathleen did, you know, how can I do it? You're surrounded by spiritual darkness, and you're facing a lot of pressure to conform. Well, that part of the Bible that Kathleen referred to tells us to put off the deeds of darkness, in other words, stop sinning, and to put on the armor of light and live a godly life. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, your life of moral integrity and clean speech and gentle graciousness is going to shine out to those around you, and in that way you can make a difference. And that word of encouragement is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 1024 for Thursday, March 31st, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and in an October cover article, Time magazine asked the question, "Where did life begin?" Now, the authors offered three possibilities premised on the Darwinian need for ideal conditions. Possibility A was in a warm little pond rich in organic materials. Possibility B was by hydrothermal vents on the ocean floor. And possibility C was in bubbles floating on the warm ocean surface. Now, students of the Bible, I think, would have to say that the correct answer to that question was D, none of the above. See, it's enough for us to know that God created everything. Plant, animal, marine life began when God spoke it into being. And man's life began when God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And we believe that God not only created life, but he also gives it meaning through relationships and work, and love, activity, nature, learning. Life is rich with all kinds of things that keep it from becoming boring or empty or destructive. And also, through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, God offers us his forgiveness. And so to believe in him, to walk with him, to follow his commands, to enjoy his people, that's to be in harmony with the purpose for which he gave us life in the first place. So let me ask you something. Are you still in the primordial soup of doubt or disbelief? Well, come by faith in Jesus Christ to the one who gave you life. And I think you'll discover what fullness and meaning and purpose life can have. And that important issue is what today's entry in the Campus Journal is about. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ devotional guide, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1025 for Friday, April 1st, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and I'm sure you've seen that commercial on television where the announcer says confidently about his product that the quality goes in before the name goes on. Well, sure, that major corporation knows the importance of protecting its name, protecting its reputation. Now, a friend of mine saw the reverse of this at a well-known car rental company. Now, when customers arrived at the counter that day to pick up their keys, they faced long lines and discourteous staff, generally inconvenient conditions. And of course, their reaction was predictable. One after another, car renters expressed their frustration and anger, and I doubt that very many of them will ever use that company again. The agency's name had become a source of mockery among those tired travelers. And you know, you can read about a similar thing happening to the nation Israel in the Bible's Old Testament. The people of the Lord had become a target of scorn among the nations that were around them in the Middle East. And because they'd violated their covenant with God and chosen to live like their pagan neighbors, the Lord didn't protect them when enemies invaded. As a result, they suffered defeat, and they were scattered. And because of their misfortune, now pagans were laughing at Israel in the name of their God. And now I'd like to apply this to us, because as Christians, we bear the name of our Savior on the campus, in the dorm, at work, at home. And so as the world watches us, what do they think of him? Because although it's important for a big corporation to live up to its name, it's even more important for us to live up to Jesus' name. Our primary purpose, remember, is to reflect the glory of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the Friday entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. And remember, if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ devotional guide, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Have a good weekend. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan.